over to Psalm 91:16. Psalm 91:16. We're going to start what some people would call a series tonight. I'm going to talk about the satisfied life. And we're going to hit some good points with this and hopefully help everyone with what they need to know. So Psalm 91:16 says, "With long life I will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, that's the word of the Lord. Now, this is a promise, and it's out of these great verses from Psalm 91, which are all wonderful. We love the whole chapter. It's a very important chapter. And the subject here is living in the secret place or under the shadow of the Almighty. And in these psalms, you know, psalms are what you repeat. They're songs. They're confessions. They're what we get a hold of, and we repeat these things. So this is what a psalm is. It's a song or a poem, and it's a decree or it's a confession. And so we live under the shade of Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. That's what Almighty God means. He's El Shaddai. He's the breasty one, or he is the one who can favor all of his children at the same time. He's also the one who can change what he created in order to help his children. And so that's what he said to Abraham, and that's what he did. He created man, and then he went back and had a 100-year-old man have some babies. Amen. And so he is God Almighty. And the shade is a good place to be, right? We appreciate the shade. The inventor of the umbrella actually invented the umbrella for shade, not rain. I don't know if you knew that. But the word actually, umbra, is the Latin word for shade. So that umbrella was actually made to, keep you cool, keep you in the shade. It wasn't actually made for rain, although it does a great job there too. But it's great, but it's really nothing compared to this God Almighty, who is our refuge, who keeps us under his wings, under his shade. He's just good. And so within the plan of Psalm 91 comes this verse 16, which says, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." So we're supposed to live satisfied. Look at somebody and say, "You're supposed to be satisfied." It doesn't mean that we're always content, because a lot of times we want to move forward. We don't want to just get lazy or sit still. But we do want to be satisfied as we're going, moving in our, getting momentum going there in our lives. So we need to be fulfilled would be a good way to say it. Church, dreams are supposed to come true. You remember, I told you the story about the mama and with the kid in the theme park. Yeah. Give him a good shaking and say, I brought you here to have a good time. Yeah. And so we need to be having a good time, stop being fussy, and have a good time. So having said that, just remember that we're still on the path for this year. Our goals are to help you be healthier, have healthier relationships, and have more prosperity in your life. And so having a satisfied life would do those things, and those things would help you have a satisfied life, right? So we need to understand how good God is, how much he wants his kids to have this good life. A long, satisfied life is God's plan for his people. There's no doubt about that. His plan is not one attack after another. That's not how we're supposed to live. Trouble and then some more trouble. If you're living like that, you're doing it wrong. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be one trouble after another. You say, "Well, you know, that mean devil keeps doing that to me." Well, guess what? You have authority over that mean devil. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. God's salvation is richer than anything we've imagined. And according to the Bible, he not only wants to show it to us, he wants to show it through us. This is part of our evangelism. This is part of our package. We're blessed to be a blessing. We need to be the shiny ones so that people can look at us and see what God is really like. That doesn't take away from other types of evangelism, of you just going out and street witnessing and having different outreaches and stuff. Those are all good. But they should all come from a place of knowing that God is good and that he loves his people. That many can have a testimony like Janice today. I mean, man, that was a country music song played backwards. She got all of her stuff back. Amen. Things started going right. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're looking for. He just wants to flood our life with blessing, church. He wants goodness so that he can always point to us as examples. We need to be those examples. And what are we examples of? His incredible love, his incredible wealth, his incredible blessings that he's given us through Jesus. Amen. So are you wrapping your mind around this? You see where we're headed to? Mm-hmm. So it needs to be good in every way. Our lives need to be good. We need to have favor and kindness. We need to be the illustrations of that, I should say. So My mind went racing ahead there. I had some thoughts. We're the billboards. We're the billboards. And so people should look at us and you shouldn't be, if you're in turmoil all the time, you need some help. Something's wrong. You need to go back and see what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Get help. Yeah. So, God wants to help us that way. So listen, this is the very reason why crumbs don't satisfy us. We're not satisfied with crumbs. God didn't design us to live on a low level. He didn't create us to be average or moderate. It's not in our DNA, church. We're supposed to be spectacular. Things are supposed to go great. It's supposed to be good. As Christians, we're a part of his worldwide agenda to demonstrate the glory of God. And so we need to grab hold of this. We need to understand that doing well is our mission. It's not all of our mission, but it's the main part, because if you can start doing well, you can go to Guatemala. If you start doing well, you can buy a shoebox. If you start doing well, you can buy 10 shoeboxes full of stuff. If you did well, you could promote whatever you need to promote in the gospel. You would feel like it because you'd be healthy. Yeah. You wouldn't be grumpy and say, God never did anything for me. Come on now. Or whatever it is. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we're made for victory. We're made to stand in our authority in Jesus and conquer everything that the kingdom of darkness would try to throw at us. We win. Having a satisfied life doesn't mean that things don't happen. Things do happen. But being satisfied is knowing that we overcome all of these things. So what do? Well, you have to understand that you're a child of God. You're not just a servant. You're a child in the house. You're a son servant. You do help. But you have to make a quality decision. And what do you make a quality decision about? To live in Psalm 91. To live in Psalm 91, to live under the refuge, to be a part of that. And so decisions, now you're not new at this, but it behooves me to say it over and over. Decisions are made by speaking, right? Everybody in here knows that. And you can think about a lot of things, but in the end, it's what comes out your mouth that's going to work. Now, here's the thing. The heart, the mouth will speak what's in the heart. Blah, 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 blah. Or glory to God, we win. Love can either come out or judgment can come out. Turmoil can come out. It just depends on what's in your heart. But here's the key. If you'll take your mouth and begin to control it, you'll change your heart. Yes. Yeah. You can flip that around.
Yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't need to give you a big lesson on that. I know you understand that, but I needed to say that. So your mouth can change your thinking and bring it into agreement with the word. So that the step one in this to living a satisfied life would actually just be take your place at Father's table. Get in Psalm 91. Take your place at Father's table. You belong at the table. You don't belong out the back door or sitting on the side. Pull up to the table. Yeah. Everything God has belongs to you.
Yes.
Amen. And then when you're learning how to use your mouth and you're learning how to do these things, how to cast down imaginations, the step number two would be don't sweat the small stuff or the big stuff. Don't sweat it. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Message translation says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. He'll take care of you. So live carefree. He's the one that takes care. We take too many cares. Well, I don't like what they're doing. Well, I don't like what they're saying. Well, I don't like their behavior. Well, pastor did this and so-and-so did this. You are living in a miserable place. Tend to yourself.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Tend to your growth. Tend to your character. Think of the silly things that people worry about.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible to live satisfied and worry at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. The Word of God in Philippians says, don't worry about anything and pray about everything. Lord, why should I stay awake all night? You do. You do it. You take care of it.
Yeah.
There's no need me being upset about it. So, you know, it's impossible to experience the kind of life Jesus offers when your stomach's churning with anxiety all the time. It's impossible to be a good witness. How are you going to be a good witness when you hate everybody and everything around you, when you're miserable and nothing's good enough? And, you know, let that not be said among us. Amen. So the Bible gives us commands about that. Do not fret. That's Psalm 37:7. Do not fear. That's Luke 12:32. Be anxious for nothing. That's Philippians 4:6. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you and what happens to you. 1 Peter 5:7. All these things are telling us, stop it. Just stop it. So it's easy to keep those commands about things that maybe are not so personal, like maybe global warming or something, right? Maybe it doesn't bother you so much about that. But when the serious issues come up, and they do, that concern you personally or maybe nationally or globally or economically, then trouble starts trying to threaten you on every side. And then the option for worrying will begin to kick in. Okay, you could worry about this. You could worry about that. You know, for high-level worriers, these are glorious times.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Isn't that the truth? Because if you choose to, you can worry about any number of things, And some people are committed worriers. They're going to worry. I don't know about that. I don't know. They even worry about the people who don't have any sense to worry.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, you probably heard that about your grandma. Or something. Don't worry about it, grandma. Well, you don't have the sense to worry, so I will, you know. Worry on some other folks' behalf so you can help them along, you know. And I know I'm making fun of the worrier, but I can understand why they're worried. I mean, the Bible tells us to live a satisfied life right up into there to Psalm 91. But when you get into Psalm 91, it talks about terror, does it?
Yeah.
It talks about terror and pestilence and destruction.
Yeah.
And so those things are out there.
Yeah.
They're out there. Mm-hmm. And to pretend that they're not isn't faith. It's not there, it's not there, it's not there. That's not Bible. You don't call things that are as though they're not. You call things that are not as though they were. There's a difference. You deny the right of those things to be around you. That's the point. So, they're out there. And so, you know, what's the solution to that? What are we going to do? How can you remain worry-free and be realistic? Well, the answer is right there in Psalm 91. And so let's start with verse 1 and we'll read down through here. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I'll trust. There's a big hint there. I will say. I will say. That's what you need to spend time talking about. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying plague. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Hey, you know, there are people who actually today who say that Christianity is a crutch. Have you ever heard that? Oh, that's just their crutch. It's an escape. That's exactly right. It's not a crutch, but it is an escape. We're escaping the bad stuff by living under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it's just wonderful that we do have a refuge for stormy times. A refuge, by definition, provides shelter or protection from danger or trouble. It's a place of safety. It's something or someone who we can turn to for aid or relief. Well, everybody likes to have a good place to hide when things are rough. And don't give me that stuff. Do not give me that stuff about, I'll just take trouble on the chin. Nobody does that. Nobody goes to war and stands out in the middle of the war zone and says, I'll just take a bullet to the chest. They're ducking. They're getting in the foxholes. They're moving out of the way. You don't try to take trouble on purpose.
That's right.
Most people don't. There might be a few that like it. Everybody looks for cover in the war zone. And as believers, we have that kind of protection. It's available to us all the time. We don't just have someone to talk to about the situations. We actually have someone who will help us in the situations. And as the scripture here goes on to talk about that. Because he's someone with power, and he's committed, church. He's committed to do these things for you. As the mountains surround Jerusalem and protect it, so the Lord surrounds and protects his people both now and forever. Isn't that beautiful? So his promise is the God begotten, God protected promise. That's what we have. So no matter what's going on, you can look to him and you can say, Lord, you're my hiding place. You'll preserve me. I can't tell you how many times I say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that you can keep that which I've committed to you. I'm committing myself to you right now. I'm committing this situation. I'm committing this person to you. You keep them, Lord, because I'm not getting to them. I can't get to them anyway on my own.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And he will. Now, if this is true, let's just go here for a minute. If this is true that he's there, he's ready, we can have this place, why do so many Christians suffer all the time? Why don't we see the evidence of that? It's very simple. No activation. No activation. We say, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. That's where you have to get to. And we need to boldly and consistently be declaring this. It's something we need to constantly do. Hey, the Lord is my refuge. He's my fortress. This is who I am and this is who he is. He is my fortress. You know, make it a habit. When you get in the car and you're about to put it in drive or first. Right then's a good time to say it. The Lord's my refuge.
Yeah.
Get up, say it when you're brushing your teeth, say it. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Because in a little while, you're going to see as you read these scriptures that then it says, he says. And he begins to talk back after you say.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So we need to activate. And listen. You can't just try to have a positive mental image. It's not going to work. You have to open your mouth and say something on this side of things. And then, you know, when the pressure hits, things really start looking bad. You might want to spout off something that unbelievers say. That's what happens if you just do it mentally. okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I know, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then you're worrying, and then you're mad, and then you're this and you're that. But if you will say right in the middle when something tries to worry you, right in the middle when something, just say, no, I say of the Lord. He's my refuge. He's my refuge. He will take care of this. And he'll walk right out in front between me and the enemy, and he'll say, you want to say something? This girl, you better look me in the face before you say it. Because that's how he feels about me. Don't mess with Cotton Top. Okay, now, used to be. Now it's just colored top. Okay, now, so, may I make a humble suggestion? Two people think so. When you're tempted to make the wrong statements, please, for your own sake, and I say this with great love, shut your mouth. Don't say it. Because what you say is powerful. It brings alignment into our life when we say the right thing. It just throws you way off if you go out and say the wrong thing. And could I add this too? When you decide to have a conversation with someone else about somebody, when you decide to have a conversation with someone else about somebody, how about just saying something good? I declare and decree that God is their refuge. The eyes of their understanding be enlightened. I declare they get promoted. I declare they move along. I declare things get better for them.
Yeah.
Say what you want about them. You know, I'm really sick and tired of them. I'm tired of putting up with all their junk. Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, now, let's go over to Psalm 21. I'm sorry, 91 verse 3. And let's just look at something as we go on down the line here. Psalm 91:3 says, surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying plague. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. So see, now there's God talking. Hear him talking? Because Roxanne set her love on me, I'll deliver her. I'll set her on high because she has known my name. So now God's talking. Verse 15. He shall, I'm sorry, I told you 3. It was verse 13. I beg your pardon. So now we're at 15. He shall call on me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So now let's just do this again. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying plague because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Verse 15, he shall call on me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Three delivers. Three delivers. Now, sometimes the Bible is repetitive for emphasis, okay? But not here. All three delivers are a different deliver. They're all a different word. I just got chill bumps when I said that. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, so God has a three-way security system here. And we can live in peace if we'll be in this system. In verse 3, God promises to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. So what is the snare of a fowler? It's a trap. Okay? It's a bad place to be when you're in a trap. Have you ever seen an animal in a trap? I grew up seeing that, okay? They struggle, but they can't get free. That's a trap. John Bevere put out a book some years ago called The Bait of Satan. It's to lead you into a trap. What's the trap? Being offended. And it gets you in a trap, and you can't get out. You can just be pulled down until you'll move to the back row in the church and then move out the door. Because you're not getting over. You're caught up in a trap. I'm not going to sing the Elvis song for you right now. Okay, so every one of us at one time or another, we've been in a trap, right? We've gotten into a snare. You can't free yourself from that, but guess who can? He can free you from that. It with offense, broken relationships, failure, he can come in and change that. Because according to the word in Hebrew here, it means God snatches you out of it. I'll deliver you out of that trap. I'll snatch you out. When we used to live next door where Art and Amanda live right now, and there's a pool there, and Carter was about this big, and he just goes cruising out and just drops right down into that pool. And Toby reached down and grabbed him by the collar and snatched him out and set him on the shore. And I thought, that's the best illustration of that scripture I've ever seen. He just picked him up and took him out. Church, God can pick you up and take you out of the snare.
Yeah.
Be willing to come out of it. Lord, deliver me. Yeah. Deliver me from being offended. Deliver me from judging everybody. Deliver me from all of this. No matter how deep the hole is the devil dug for you, you can get out. God will grab you, snatch you out of there. And then the second deliverance here, it says, because he set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. So, you know, what could be better than snare snatching? Snare snatching. Well, how about never getting in the snare in the first place? That could be better. Stay out of the snare. And so, because you set your love on me, on him, you're lifted into a place where you avoid trouble. Church, I have experienced this for a long time. When I found these truths, these things, there were many, many years where, poof, no trouble. No trouble. It went well. Did things happen? Yeah. Did we have opportunity? Oh, yeah. Lots of opportunity. But you stay out of them.
Right.
You can just not get into them.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity will knock on the door. Just let faith answer.
Yeah.
Send them on. Just move on out of there. You don't have to get hung up in every little trap. We started calling things touch fouls.
Mm-hmm.
In basketball, there's a touch foul. People say something to you, and part of you want to go, but you can just go, no, I'm not taking it. I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to that. You should have heard what she said about you. Stop right there. Don't tell me another word.
Uh-uh.
I don't need to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Uh-uh.
You can just take that back to wherever you're bringing it from. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Preachers, never, ever read what people are saying about you. If you're preaching on Facebook, don't go down there and read the comments. Good or bad.
Yep.
I'm telling you right now, don't go read the comments. Because one will make your head swell and the other will make you mad. There's no need to do that. Before Facebook came along, it was written in print. It was on newspaper. And Brother Copeland said it'll be at the bottom of the bird cage tomorrow.
Yep.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just avoid that stuff. So you just avoid getting into these entanglements. Just don't do it. Just avoid doing it. Danny was talking to us today about gossip. I haven't gotten to listen to the thing you sent me yet, but I'm going to. Gossip is a dangerous game to be playing. Pastor John said, don't listen to hearsay and never repeat any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds funny, but it's just don't, because you don't know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If someone said, Debbie Clark said, that you said, I just need to know what Debbie Clark's saying to me. I don't need to know what they said, she said.
Right.
All I need to know is what Debbie thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. So that was for free. We'll go on here. So just don't get in the snare in the first place. So how does this work? Well, it's really easy. Tune into the guidance of you know who, the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Amen. He's your guidance system. Just tune into him. Nope. I saw myself the other day. I raised up myself like this and I went, shut up. And man, I saved myself a bunch of stuff. I could have just gone off on a trail. The other person would have cared. They would have just gone, oh yeah, yeah. But I would have gone, if I'd have said what I was thinking. Happens to all of us. Y'all don't look so holy. It happens to all of us. You got to watch what you're going to do there. You got to watch it so you can stay out of the trouble. God will warn you ahead of time and you can avoid traps altogether. Watch out for that. Watch out for that behavior. Watch out for that. Doesn't mean you don't love people, but you can steer clear of a lot of things. Amen. Dwelling in the secret place is important. It just keeps you keen to promptings. You're keen to the promptings of what Holy Spirit's saying. Yeah, avoid that. Yeah, don't go that. Yeah, don't take that seriously. It's a touch foul. Walk away from that. Listen to the sincerity of people. You get that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, these are the things we need to do. Let's just go on. I think we're good with that. You know what to do with your imagination. You cast down things that are not good. So here's verse 15. This is number 3, deliver. He shall call on me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So not only can you be snatched out and lifted out, or you can be steered around the snares, but the next deliverance is a dramatic departure from either one of those, because this deliverance is equipped for the battle. In other words, you're going to go through the fight. You're going to go through something, but God gives you every weapon and every resource you need to crush the enemy. Okay? And that doesn't mean you stay in the Valley of Baca for 40 years. That means if you're going through something, go through it. Get on the other side of it. Ask him what to do and go on through. It doesn't mean you're going to live in it. Well, it's my season to live. Now wait a minute. Get your resource, get your equipment, and move on through.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't know why we're broke. I just don't know why we're broke. I just don't know why we're broke. Well, there's why you're broke. Give.
Yes.
Confess.
Yes.
Expect.
Yes.
Receive.
Yes.
And move on. Come on out of it.
Good.
You get equipped for the battle. You can do that. He's got everything you need. You're armed to the max.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Church, you have what it takes.
Amen.
You have everything in there that you need to confront any kind of situation, anything.
That's right.
You can just blow it out of your life. Is that really true? Do we really believe that? If you're a born-again believer, if you're a child of Almighty God, you have the goods.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I just sense that several of you have gone through this wearing on you and wearing on you and wearing on you, and you keep standing and you keep standing. You're coming out.
Yep.
See yourself out. See your family out of it. See them out of it. See them out. See yourselves out. See your loved ones out of it. Amen? You can come on through. You have angels helping you. All demons, all hell, Satan himself, they are helpless in the face of your equipment. From my high seat of authority that God has given me by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, by the word of God, Holy Spirit, Father, God, weapons. You remember, something was aggravating Paul, And he kept asking the Lord about it. And the Lord kept saying, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. God wasn't saying, now my grace is sufficient. You have to live with this. He's saying, I'm giving you the grace to power through it and over it. I'm giving you the grace. Go ahead and speak. Because as soon as he spoke to that person, people are like, well, Paul was blind. Read the Bible.
Yep.
It was someone following him, agitating him. Is a messenger of Satan. And as soon as he went over there and said, you're going to stop it. And he used the right words. That grace came through and took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Power through it.
Amen.
Use the grace of God. You have the grace of God.
Amen.
And may I add that that will include you looking at yourself in the mirror. And saying, you're going to straighten up. You're going to do it. You're going to say what is right. How many of you have been married more than 10 minutes? Did you go try to get a divorce the first time someone offended, your wife or husband offended you? Because don't sit up here and lie to the pastor. Everybody in here has been hurt. Everybody in here has had some kind of foul and you didn't appreciate it. But you didn't give up. You have covenant relationships with people in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're sent. Those of you that are here and maybe some watching, sent here.
Yeah.
If God sent you here, this is not a venue for you to choose what you like and what you don't like and say, well, I'm not going anymore because they made me mad. Getting snarky, Bobby. I'm getting snarky. Grow up. We're in this together. I've had to stick it out for 21 years, so you can do it too. We're for each other.
Amen. We are. Truly.
You don't like what everybody does here, but the way they're going to get through it is if you're for them. And not against them. If you're for them, if you love them, if you say, but I heard someone say this recently, that they took their child and said, I'm with you. I'm not quitting. I'm for you. I love you. Yeah, you've been acting up, but I'm for you.
Yeah.
And it changed the child. Well, you need to straighten up. You just 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 need to, well, why don't you just straighten up? We need you to straighten up. If you don't straighten up, we're going to do so and so. I brought you into this world. How about some hugs and how about, hey, you're going to make it through this. I was reading a story of this book that's kind of a devotional. It's called God's Little Devotional. And this guy tells a story. He said there's this man, and this kid was just wearing him out, as they would say. That's what my mother said. Y'all are just wearing me out, you know. The kid just, he couldn't, one thing and another thing. And the guy kept saying, stop that, stop that. You need to stop that. You need to, and he kept on him all day long. And so the dad finally said, look, the next morning he said, you're going to be good today. You're going to be good all day long. And the kid was good all day long. And when he laid down that night, the dad went in there to tell him good night, and the kid started shaking. And he started whimpering and crying. And he said, what's wrong with you, son? And he says, well, all day long I was bad. And you pointed it out all day long, but today I was good. And he never said a word about it. That'll preach. Remember to praise people. Remember to tell your kids how good they've been. Remember to give them a hug. Maybe even hug them if they've been bad. Right after you... No. Don't write me an ugly letter. Well, we just, I don't know, you know, it's as Brother Copeland said, I'm way off my notes, I might as well go on. Brother Copeland asked the Lord, he said, what's the biggest problem with the body of Christ? He said, it's their dogged determination to correct one another. Can we just live? Can we just eat a taco together and be happy? Can we just find something good about each other and live? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. They're like, yeah, come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. How to have a satisfied life. Take your place at Father's table. Don't sweat the small stuff or any stuff. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then Sunday, we're going to talk about getting on the right road.
Amen.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here if we didn't love you. We all come together because we love one another. Wouldn't even be here.
Mm-hmm.
So we might as well just fall in love. And y'all just have to love your snarky pastor. Y'all receive this tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Father, we just refuse to sweat the small stuff.